Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Gajai Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Puravana Chinanda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kundrada Kunda Kiri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturanam Gajai Navadiptam Gajai Jagadasami Gajai Yamanamai Gajai Shimari Lassi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Om Megana Timurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chaksur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we're going to talk about 24 spiritual masters that you can all learn from without having to take initiation from. Pretty good. These are called instructing spiritual masters. Of course, you do need to take advantage of approaching a bona fide spiritual master to take initiation from and getting instructions, as Krishna says in the Gita. Tadbiri pranipatena pari prashnena sevya. Asking, inquiring, serving, etc. So that still needs to be done. But we can learn a lot from observing this material world if we're human beings. And that's the statement that Krishna makes. This is based upon a conversation that Krishna had with Uddhava. And Uddhava is asking Krishna, how can I be detached from this material world? You know, I already have a spiritual master. I'm already chanting Hare Krishna. You know, chanting my 16 rounds every day, whatever he chanted. I'm already with you, Krishna. And of course, Uddhava's already detached. This is a story where he's asking rhetorical questions. Rhetorical questions means he's asking for our benefit. Like a teacher will say to a class, how much is one in one? And the teacher knows, I hope. But, you know, the teacher's asking to elucidate the response from the students. So here, Uddhava, for our benefit, in the same way that Arjuna, for our benefit, is asking questions of Krishna. Uddhava is asking questions of Krishna. How do I get detached from this material world? And Krishna answers by using intelligence and logic with observation of this material world. You can learn detachment. Ultimately, it doesn't give you detachment, but you can learn how important detachment is. Because detachment actually only comes from Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayati asu vairagam gyanam ya chad ahaitakam. And that's Sanskrit. From serving Krishna. From rendering bhakti yoga. From devotion. Because you have to become attached to something to become detached from something else. You can't be absolutely detached from everything. People try that in different spiritual practices. They try to become detached from everything. And then they become so happy and proud of themselves that they're detached. What's the problem with that? If they become proud of themselves from being detached, what's the problem with that? Because you're attached to your false ego then. You can't overcome attachment. So we have this superior attachment, raso varjam, raso pyasav param jasani vartite, which comes by being Krishna conscious. So Krishna, in order to teach Uddhava the lesson, he tells Uddhava a story. Because stories are a good way to teach people lessons, right? Rather than just say to Uddhava, yeah, this material world's miserable, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, all the places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. Snap out of it, Uddhava. Don't be attached. He says, let me tell you a story. And there's a historical narration between a king, I don't know if you can see, it's a little faded, between this King Yadu and this young Avadhuta Brahman. And this young Avadhuta Brahman is traveling. He looks like a little child, but he's happy. And this King Yadu, who is, of course, the forefather of the whole Yadu dynasty, which Krishna appeared in, is asking him questions like, how did you get so transcendental? You know, I don't see you doing any austerities, any puja, or anything like that. You're very learned, but you're walking around just like stupefied with no lust. And this shows how spiritualists are sometimes misunderstood, because sometimes a spiritualist, someone on the highest platform of devotional service, may appear to be a little crazy. But actually, he's on the highest platform. Like, you have so many examples of this in the Vedic literature. Devotees who did this Jata Yoga, like Maharaj Rishabhadev. So he's asking these questions. And the sage, the Avadhuta Brahman, he answers, look, I use my intelligence to take shelter of many spiritual masters. And here's the whole list. Earth, air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon, python, which we're going to talk about. Sea, moth, honeybee, elephant, honey thief, deer, fish, prostitute, pingala, bird, child, young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp. Imagine putting all those pictures on your altar. Offer my obeisances to my wasp. So here's another picture of him asking the question. So let's start with the earth. So the question is, what can we learn from the earth? Well, right now we see that the earth is being harassed by all of us. You know, they're drilling the wells in there and decimating the forests. And the earth is somehow or other supplying our needs, or continues to supply our needs. And on the earth, as part of the earth explanation, you have other things like mountains. And in mountains, a mountain actually is something that basically sits there and it devotes all its efforts to serving others. Water coming from the mountains, and it's a place of pilgrimage. And from the mountain, we can learn that doing welfare for others should be the sole reason for our existence. I mean, that's the most fulfilling thing, that if you can actually dedicate yourself to helping others come to Krishna consciousness, not just a temporary solution, but permanent solution of coming to Krishna consciousness. So under the earth category, there's also trees. And the trees also are dedicating themselves. You know, they give shade, they give fruit, and you cut them down and you make houses from them. And so they're dedicating themselves to helping others. So that we can learn from those particular entities. Then after that we get to air. Of course, that's a balloon. But it's hard to take a picture of air or the wind. So we have to show something that was affected by the air. So what the air does is like what we should do. We can go everywhere but not be affected by whatever we come in contact with. Like the air, it's described, sometimes carries aromas but does not mix with the aroma. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we can be something called aseptic, because we're dealing in this material world with so many contaminating factors. Just walking down the street, you see billboards, or you know, if you happen to look at TV or a computer, so many ads come up. And you just remain neutral, detached from all these different circumstances. So he learns from the air. And then there's the sky. That's a pretty good picture of the sky. And from the sky, also the same thing, the sky is all pervasive, but also does not mix with anything. And this also refers to the super soul. The super soul is in everyone's heart and every atom, but he doesn't mix with this material energy. Then we have water. And a saintly person is like pure water. He's gentle, he's calm, and not only is he gentle and calm, but pure water has the effect of purifying everything else. It purifies, you drinking up water can even purify you. So to hear, see, or touch a pure devotee gives you purification. Just like we know the most potent substances are the foot bathing water of a pure devotee, the foot dust of the pure devotee, or the prasadam remnants. And we have great devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line who would actually just go around and take everybody's remnants from other devotees. He'd sneak behind people's houses, give them some food, wait near where they were going to throw the garbage. and actually suck on the mango seeds and the mango skin and everything like that, just to get the association of great devotees. So that's water. And fire is even more interesting. What can we learn from fire? That even if a saintly person comes in contact with something contaminated, he doesn't become contaminated. Just like the sun. The sun can shine, like Prabhupada gave the example, on urine or stool or something like that, and it can actually purify the place. Another thing we can learn from fire is that the spirituality of a saintly person is contained within him, and sometimes fire is contained within an element, like wood, and it doesn't become manifest at a particular time. Also, a pure devotee can burn to ashes any sinful reactions one may have. Also, on the other hand, if one doesn't interact properly with a pure devotee, guess what? Can anyone guess? You get burnt. You get burnt. So it can act in both ways. Prabhupada gave that example of the sun. He said the sun can actually purify you or it can burn you. People get cancer sometimes from too much sunshine. And another thing we can learn from flames or fire is that the flames and fire are flickering very, very quickly. And sometimes it's hard to see this imperceptible flickering. And it's like the time is passing. Time is very imperceptible, or the passing of time is very imperceptible. The next spiritual master he has is the, what? Moon. And the moon shows what? Different phases. Just like you have the Purnima. What's the Purnima? Full moon. Then Amavas. What's that? The new moon. And so you have these different cycles. Like Ekadashi is what? 11th day of the moon, either the new moon or the full moon, or the growing moon, the Krishna Paksha, or the Gaura Paksha. So the moon is going through phases, but it's always the same. So sometimes in this material world, life goes through phases. What is it? Dehino spin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara. We can go from boyhood to youth to old age, but we're always the same. I just remember, like, I remember being young, like you. And I'm lamenting that I have an old body. So I should remain the same in spite of going through all these phases, but I'm not. That's the problem. So, anyway, so then from the next is the sun. Here comes the sun. And another reason we can learn from the sun, or one reason, is that the sun evaporates water and then returns it. Like a saintly person accepts charity and gives it away at the appropriate time. And another thing about the sun is never divided. Although it may appear to be divided in different bodies of water, the sun is always one. Now here's the next one, is quite interesting. Here's a pigeon. So what can we learn from a pigeon? Of course, Prabhupada sometimes would comment on how when people or politicians put out statues of previous politicians, the pigeons would actually perform puja to those statues. You know, like Prabhupada said, that, you know, once a year the municipal sweeper would come in with his brush and sweep off all the pigeon remnants off of that. But really what we can learn from a pigeon is that the story told is that once upon a time there were two pigeons. And the name for pigeon, of course, is Kapota, and the female pigeon is Kapoti. So they got married, or I don't know, they had a relationship. These pigeons are not supposed to get married. So anyways, there was a male pigeon and a female pigeon. They had a relationship, and they loved each other, coo, or whatever they did. And they really loved each other, and they built a nest, and then eventually the female pigeon laid some eggs. And out of those eggs came some little baby pigeons. And the baby pigeons were actually chirping so nicely. And the male pigeon and the female pigeon, they were just so much enamored with these two little, not two, actually several eggs. And what happened is that they thought, well, now we got to go out and make some money. No, get some worms. So, you know, bring it back. So they both went out together to get some worms. They went to work, you know. And there was no daycare at that time, so it was a problem. So when they went out to work to get the worms, A hunter came by and he saw these little pigeons. They were running around. They couldn't fly at that particular juncture. And he put a net over them. So both the mother and the father pigeon, they come back and they see my little babies. They're in a net. And so the mother, naturally, she has her instinct. You know, I got to save my kids. So she dives down to the net. Guess what? She gets caught. Then the father, bird, Kapota, he's up there in the trees seeing what's happening. He just says, what about my dharma, artha, kaman, and moksha? You know, anyway, he's thinking about purusharta. And he basically, for all intents and purposes, has a heart attack or, you know, comes unconscious and he falls down and guess what? He gets caught. So from this we can learn about too much attachment because ultimately, death will take us all away. So the detachment has to be cultivated from this material world. And of course, one should be affectionate to family members. Isn't that what I'm advocating? That shouldn't be affectionate. But one has to see things at the same time simultaneously from a higher perspective. So you have to function on both levels so that you don't dive down to save. I'm not saying your kids are going to have that happen to you, but you don't lose your own Krishna consciousness because of some traumatic situation. I mean, I've had experiences of some of my friends who had some traumatic situation and they stopped chanting because of that. And once they stopped chanting, then things went downhill. So that's what you can learn from a pigeon. And then here's some stories of that, some pictures about that. And then here's a nice friend of mine. That's called a python. Pythons have like joints that can open up at the jaw so they can swallow big things. So the python teaches us that distress and happiness come of its own accord. In other words, the python's lying there in the road, probably not the road, in the bushes. Just like one time I was in Australia, near Brisbane, and I was walking to the temple, and this close to me there was this giant python. Fortunately, it had already taken prasadam. So it was just lying there with big and fat. So, and it eats animals and anyway, whatever else moves. So a python teaches us that happiness and distress come of their own accord. So we should be peaceful and patient. In other words, there's a certain amount of karma that's built in for our happiness and distress, and it's going to happen, no matter what arrangements we make. That's a python's teaching. And here we have the beautiful sea that teaches us that regardless of all the rivers, and of course this is an example Krishna uses in the Gita, that the devotee always remains the same, like the rivers going into the ocean always remains the same. And so the devotee remains the same regardless of poverty or riches or happiness or distress. This is a test of Krishna consciousness, that one is like samadarshi, seen the same and also being the same, predictable, control of the senses. The next guru is actually a moth. Everybody knows what a moth is? And the moth can teach us how we shouldn't be controlled by our attractions in this world. What does a moth do? If it sees some light, some flame at night, it rushes into it. And if any of you ever had a like picnic at night with some lights, you know the next morning there's a whole pile of bugs and moths there. And they've killed themselves, they've immolated themselves in that way. Here is a honeybee. Not a stinging bee, well he stings too. And a honeybee, we can learn, for one who is in the renounced order of life called Madhukari, that you go from one place to another, you just take a little bit and enough to keep your body and soul together. Also, it means someone who takes the essence from the scriptures, someone who takes the nectar from the scriptures, the purpose of the scriptures. And also, we should not imitate the honeybee in over-collecting or storing too much because then we may lose everything that we've collected. The next guru we have, Om Guru Devaya, Namaha, is an elephant. And the elephant, well, here's what we can learn from the elephant. The way they trap the elephant is they have a beautiful female elephant who, I don't know how they speak, who attracts the elephant to fall into a hole in the ground, and then they end up in the North Carolina Zoo after that. So you have to be careful about being attracted to things in this world, because that's the trap of Krishna's illusory energy. Then you also have a bee. Now this is similar to the honeybee. It's like a bee who stores things that are eventually taken by others. And here's the person who takes it. He's the honey thief. Honey bear, as you say. He's the honey thief. And in the story of the Avadhuta Brahman, he compares this to the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Not that that's a brahmacharya or a sannyasi. But the householders work very hard, and then the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they don't, of course, they should work hard too. Not that they simply sit and eat honey all day long. But they enjoy life, just chanting, dancing, and preaching about Krishna consciousness, just like my own life. I go from here to there just talking about Krishna, and hopefully we're trying to get out of management now, turn everything over to our community. We had a meeting today about this, isn't it? Some of you were at the meeting. Appreciate you missed the meeting. Oh, you're there. So that you can all, grihasthas can manage everything, and I can be happy just hearing and chanting about Krishna. Isn't that true, Aditya?
Yeah.
But if one takes a headache for Krishna, then that headache is purifying. Like Prabhupada, he took many headaches for Krishna. So he showed us that one should be willing to do that. And here's the nice deer. And the deer, the problem with the deer is they're attracted by the hunter's horn. It's like a person attracted by beautiful music that has nothing to do with Krishna. And it actually contaminates the mind. Here's a fish. Of course, the fish, that's pretty easy to understand. The fish is attracted by something that attracts its tongue. And when its tongue is attracted, guess what? It's caught. For those of you who eat fish, hopefully none of you eat fish here, there's a very interesting video that was put out to dissuade you from eating fish. It's a man who is walking by the beach, and he discovers a sandwich there on the beach. He discovers the sandwich, he picks it up, you know, it's in a plastic bag, you know, it's clean and everything like that, and he bites into it, and guess what's in the sandwich? A hook. And then there's a fish reeling him in. You know, so the poor guy is like dragged out into the ocean. So how would you feel? And that's how the fish feels. So if we can control our tongue, you can conquer practically Krishna. That's it. You know, dharma deji vayati lobamoya sudurmati. The tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable of all the senses. So that's what we can learn from the fish. And here's, who's that? Her name is Pingala. I mean, I don't really know if her name is Pingala, but I used her picture. I used her picture. So this is a very important story that's told in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The once upon a time, there was this Pingala, basically, she's a prostitute. And she was in a lot of debt, and she was looking for customers. And so she stood in her doorway, and she thought, well, there comes that man, he must be rich. There comes this man, he must be rich. And the whole night she was like that, and she became disappointed, detached, dejected. And then after a while, she learned the nature of this material attraction. And she sang a whole song. And this song was, paraphrasing the song, is, I gave up the service of Krishna. I took this material body, which is foul and has 9 gates. I took up enjoyment, temporary enjoyment, and I am fortunate because my material desire is gone now. Pretty good. And so from this Avadhuta Brahma, just watching these different elements of the material nature and the different personalities, he learned all these things. So we can also learn by watching. I mean, not that you should go out and watch a prostitute, obviously, but you by observing whatever you come in contact with. You know, I do that when I go to the airport, for example, and I see people rushing and so unhappy and just thinking, you know, why don't they become Krishna conscious? You know, it helps develop compassion to see people suffering. So, whoops, did we skip? Oh, yeah, there's another one. This is like a small bird that was carrying meat. You know, a worm. A bird is allowed to eat a worm. That's the allotted food. And he was attacked by a hawk. The hawk wanted to get this meat. And so he gave it up. And then he was free from the attack of the hawk. And by having that freedom, he became happy. So when we can actually give up certain things, then we become less likely to be attacked. Just like the story of Sanatana Goswami, who had gotten out of prison, and he went to a hotel, where the hotel owner had an astrologer who was able to ascertain that Sanatana Goswami's servant had 8 gold coins. And the hotel owner was acting really nice. Oh, Sanatana. It wasn't Sanatana at that time, but it was, he didn't become Sanatana until that. He actually was Sanatana because he was initiated earlier by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, you're so nice. I'll help you over the mountains. I'll help you do this. And as they say, too much devotion is the sign of a thief. So he was very intelligent. He said, he knows I have some money. But he didn't know he had money, so he asked his servant, do you have any money? And his servant said, yes, I have 7 gold coins. He was hiding one for himself. And Sanatana Goswami gave those 7 gold coins away. And the hotel owner, he was so pleased he didn't have to kill Sanatana Goswami, he helped him over the mountains. So sometimes it's required not to accept too much, or else people become very envious. You may even, now of course in America, you may have lawsuits. You know, people attack you and sue you only when you have deep pockets. Anyone's heard that before? Deep pockets means there's a lot in it, nothing in my pocket. So that's a lesson we can learn from that.
People are watching online, they said
it's coming on my face. There's nothing to see in my face, they should see that. My face is not the interesting thing. I think. Yeah. If you go like this. How about that? Now that. Hare Krishna. Okay. Whether you see my face or not, you watch the screen. So that's what you can learn from the bird. And here's a little child. What we can learn from a child is a child doesn't worry whether it has good reputation or bad reputation. I've seen that many times with our devotees. Oh, what will people think of me? For one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. But we should be like that. You know, this reputation, we can take shelter of Krishna's names. Like Maharaj Rishabhadev, he destroyed his reputation. He went and performed Jata Yoga. He just went out and people were throwing things in, passing air before him, passing urine, and, you know, everything. And he was able to peacefully chant Hare Krishna. So, I'm not saying we should do that. But we should be detached. As we learned when I was young, what is it? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So call me any name you want. Doesn't matter. As long as I can chant Hare Krishna, I'm happy. This is a spiritualist. Okay. We learn from a young girl. This actually was and it's a very interesting story, too. There was this young girl, and some guests came to her house. She really wanted to get married. And some of the guests were quite handsome and rich. So she went to prepare things for the guests. And when she went to prepare things for the guests, she had a lot of bangles on each arm. And you could hear ching, 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 ching. And she thought, the guests are going to know I don't have a servant and they're not going to respect me. So she kept taking the bangles off. And still, there were 3 on each arm. Ching, ching. 2, ching, ching. 1, no ching, ching. So what the Avadhuta Brahman learned is that when you had two people or three, like that, there's motor mouths. But when you, he said, therefore, when you're traveling, this is why he traveled alone, you chant Hare Krishna. And there's no one to talk prajalpa with. Because we know one of the causes of deviation in spiritual life is prajalpa, talking things unnecessarily. Oh, who's going to win the next election? One of our members even has a button. Anyway, so, you know, we should, of course we can talk from time to time about these things, but it's always good to talk about spiritual topics and not talk prajalpa. So that's one thing we can learn from that woman. And then there's the arrow maker. So the interesting thing about someone who makes arrows, at least in the old days before they were mass produced, is that you really have to concentrate on getting the point and everything right. So this arrow maker was so absorbed in making his arrows that the king walked by, didn't even see the king. That's called nirupekshan, how one should be with this material world, that you're so absorbed in spiritual life, you're not attracted to any, even if the king walks by. Of course, if your spiritual master walks by, you better see him. But so, like Prabhupada said, Prabhupada gave the example, if you have a full cup of milk, there's no room for ink in it. So that's what we learned from the arrow maker. And there's another snake. This one's not a python. And this snake, as all snakes do, they enter other people's homes. Not people. Yeah, people too. But other animals' homes and make their home. They never go to the trouble of building a home. You never see a snake with its arms digging out a hole in the ground. So we can learn too, like, to take advantage like that in Krishna consciousness. A spider, you can learn how the Lord manifests his energy and then winds it up within himself. And then the final one is a wasp. And what we can learn from a wasp is explained by Krishna in the Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajate yanti kalevram. Because if an animal gets stung by a wasp, a little animal, and killed by the wasp, that animal is meditating on the wasp, and guess what? The animal gets to be a wasp in his next life. And there's a final guru, it's not included among the 24, which is the material body and its senses. Right now, as we see, this is our situation, adanta gopir vishatam tamishram, we have uncontrolled senses. We go through the grocery store or the supermarket of life, or Amazon, as the case may be, the internet, and the senses are pulled here and there and everywhere. So we should learn to control the senses, and that the human form is meant for self-realization. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that these many spiritual masters that we've just described are not to be taken literally. In other words, they're not real gurus, but they're the means to realize knowledge, and one's own spiritual master gives you the process. In other words, they're an impetus. Well, but you have to take up the process of bhakti yoga to actually realize spiritual knowledge. But you can understand many things, the truth of the spiritual knowledge, by examining the material energy. So, and then, so that's the end of the presentation, but I wanted to show one film. Do we have time? This film was just put out about Prabhupada's 50th anniversary of the founding of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it's called Hare Krishna, 50 Years of Service. It's a 19-minute film.
Here we are, 26 Second Avenue. Very few New Yorkers know the historical significance of this humble storefront. See the sign behind me? It says Matchless Gifts. It was the name of a curio shop that was here in the mid-60s, a name that turned out to be quite prophetic indeed. It's here where ancient Eastern spiritual tradition took root and expanded throughout the world. This is where it all began. The very first Hare Krishna temple in the West. Take a look around. You can see how small it is. The Swami would come and sit on this end and lecture on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Although the Hindu Vaishnava tradition, also known as Krishna consciousness, goes back thousands of years and still has millions of followers in India, it was a very new thing in the West. So Bhaktivedanta Swami decided to incorporate his fledgling movement. And that happened in July 1966. He founded the movement as ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
When Srila Prabhupada came to this country, he did something that was quite daring, in the sense that his goal was to transplant a very well-established and very authentic, an old tradition from India to the United States, to New York City, to the 60s counterculture. I mean, if you look at it comparatively, there couldn't be two more different cultures than these two.
Within 12 short years after he left India, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada traveled across the globe 14 times, initiated thousands of disciples, established over 100 centers, several farm communities, as well as various charity and educational organizations. But what happened to his legacy after he passed in 1977? Where does his organization stand now, 5 decades after he established it? On October 9th, 1966, that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada held the first recorded outdoor chanting session of the Hare Krishna mantra outside of the Indian subcontinent. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is one of the most important activities for Krishna devotees.
Lots of singers here, lots of musicians, and lots of dynamic people who want to share their joy and their happiness and the purity of Harinam, Krishna's name. And so there are quite a few different initiatives going on. The Harinam itself goes out every day, and that is generally 2 to 3 hours. People from so many countries come here. So you can sing to all over the world when you come here on Harinam. The kirtan mandal, sometimes they hold 6 to 8 hour kirtans where they invite the general public, anyone who wants to come.
I always come to kirtan to go deep inside.
Well, I cry even more than you.
It connects me with happiness.
There's been kind of a surge over the last 15 years where we're seeing more and more the youth of the Hare Krishna movement are just set alight by their desire to specifically do kirtan.
After years of planting seeds in the West, Prabhupada returned to India and, with the help of his American and Indian disciples, started building beautiful temples in the major cities and holy places there. One of his main projects was to build a spiritual city, Mayapur, on the banks of the river Ganges.
By anyone else.
A temple like this has never been built for hundreds of years. We want to make this like a gem.
This temple, the temple of Vedic Sanatorium, can unite the whole world and establish the peace and prosperity all over the world.
From Mayapur is the home for all devotees.
I was born and brought up in England.
I was born in Cape Town, South Africa.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan, in America.
I'm from Brazil.
I was born in Bengal.
My wife, Mayapur Ishwari, is from Ukraine.
I originally come from China. We actually had a visitor here once from the UN, and he said, wow, this really is the United Nations here. It's amazing how people can understand each other, although they're so different.
We have oneness on the spiritual platform, and at the same time, we recognize the differences. There's variety as well.
Mayapur is just a happy place.
Back in the early days, most of the devotees lived and served inside the temple itself. Nowadays, most devotees have families and have regular jobs. Lawyers, doctors, bus drivers, even actors, like me. Today is the Ratha Yatra Festival in New York City. Although Prabhupada started his mission here in New York, his teachings have reached almost everywhere in the world now and have been making the kind of impact that, for some places, was unimaginable 50 years ago.
Очень много эмоций получила.
Я работаю в нефтяной компании полдня, а остальное время фотография.
There is no material reasons why this movement grew so much. Definitely in grace of Srila Prabhupada and his way of presentation, because so far we distributed millions of his books, probably around 20 million of Prabhupada's books. And people just by reading his books become devotees, become convinced. His presentation is absolutely unique.
I was interested in the literature, and I stayed in the movement because there was music. There was something I could connect to, and I could immediately find my role, my place in the community.
Behind me are a row of colorful tents. Inside of each of them is a different aspect of the central components of the culture of Krishna consciousness. Directly behind me is a booth called Books on Yoga and Meditation. They give the basis of our philosophy. Basically, that we're not this body, we're eternal spiritual souls.
A BBT ela foi criada por Prabhupada há mais de 50 anos com o intuito de ter documentado, né, o seu conhecimento para poder levar para todas as pessoas, né, aquilo que ele acreditava.
Minha maior alegria na vida é esse serviço de tradução, porque eu sei que eu não estou beneficiando só a mim, mas eu beneficio as pessoas que têm acesso a esse livro. E a tradução também tem uma vantagem. Algumas vezes eu gosto de escrever também, mas na escrita talvez apareçam as minhas imperfeições, as minhas debilidades. Mas quando eu traduzo o livro de uma pessoa completamente qualificada, como os Goswamis ou Prabhupada, eu tenho certeza de que eu estou sendo um instrumento de uma mensagem perfeita.
Então, me inspirou muito, né, distribuir livros, porque foi também através dos livros que eu pude mudar de vida, né? Mudar o meu nível de consciência, né? Que mudou completamente a minha vida. Então eu gosto, né, da ideia de oportunizar isso para outras pessoas, dar isso para outras pessoas, né? Algo que foi maravilhoso na minha vida e que outras pessoas tenham oportunidade.
A partir de 2009, nós conseguimos distribuir 135 mil livros. E desde então, a nossa média anual é de 350 mil livros. A minha maior felicidade na vida é quando eu vejo que o Prabhupada ele é reconhecido pelo serviço que ele fez e que faz para a humanidade.
Vegetarianism is one of the most important aspects of a Krishna conscious lifestyle. Devotees try to cause the least amount of suffering possible to other living beings. This is called ahimsa in Sanskrit. It's the principle of non-violence. Prabhupada's followers have contributed tremendously to the fact that vegetarianism is much more popular now and has even become somewhat mainstream.
Not that long ago, it was kind of unheard of to have a vegetarian restaurant. And I would dare say that Hare Krishna are probably the first people in Australia to do one.
There were teary moments and, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears. And but, you know, I think if you want to establish something great, you have to go through those kind of crazy processes. And now it's a massive, you know, massive sort of lifestyle choice. If you say clean eating, vegan, all that sort of stuff, now it's embraced. And I think we did a lot of the groundwork for that. It's kind of an exciting new world of vegetarian prasadam distribution.
I always made a commitment natural routine.
The best recipe is everybody happy. I think that developing an attitude of service towards other people, the reason we do what we do and we push every day is the reciprocation we get from the people we're doing it for. And every day they're coming in, we have people coming in multiple times a day even, and just showering with us appreciation and affection and love.
I think the Hare Krishnas that I know them anyway are really integral to the community of James Street. I think they provide a really beautiful service. And they make people over.
Prasadam, or sanctified vegetarian food, is a symbol of love and care, and is an integral part of the ancient spiritual Indian culture. When Prabhupada first started tracking followers, he personally cooked for them and personally fed them. Later on, he asked his disciples to make sure that no one ever went hungry within a 10-mile radius of any ISKCON center.
Food for Life is the world's largest free food vegetarian program, which serves out holistic meals to people all around the world at this different center. The Food for Life initiative in ISKCON Mumbai started in 1980s and is still going very strong, where a holistic meal is served to people every day, morning and evening.
So we started this project in the year 2004. It was a very humble beginning. On the first day, we went to one school which had only 900 students. 11 years down the road, we have set up 20 kitchens in different parts of the country. We have a presence in 8 states. And we are feeding 1.2 million kids every day.
Swami Prabhupada inspired his followers to establish farm communities, meaning a lifestyle of simple living and high thinking. He taught them to respect nature and how to be self-sufficient, living off what the land and the cows provide.
Környezetvédelem az nem csak egy jelmond, amit itt eszünk valahova az ajtó fölé és arról.